Hallelujah. 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 Yeah, you're awake. All right. We're having church. Praise the Lord. It is the only word almost that translates into every language. To him the highest praise. To him the highest praise. That's what you just said. To him, to Yahweh, be the highest praise. And let it be our code. Let it be our lifestyle beyond today, to the day that our breath's taken from our body and we stand before the living God, totally alive, complete in him. May it be the words on our lips. Hallelujah to him who is worthy. To him the highest praise. Father God, we just praise you and thank you that we can come together in a free nation, freely giving you worship because you're worthy. Lord, remember those who have given the ultimate sacrifice, those that were wounded and maimed, those that, Lord God, were perhaps affected mentally and emotionally for the cause of establishing freedom so that those could worship, Lord, freely and find relationship, true relationship, only that's found in Jesus Christ. We thank you and praise you, Lord God, that we live in such a day, an exciting time, Lord, that you said, Lord, that we would do greater things. Lord, I just ask that we do the thing that you want us to do, to live holy and purely, to live with total devotion to Jesus Christ. Amen. Hallelujah to him. There's so many things going on in my brain. I got to calm down. It's been studying, getting involved in the Word of God like never before. There's just such an insatiable appetite that the Lord stirred in me to be in his Word and just study and research. And so for the last 2 days, that my family finally pried me out of the house yesterday evening, and my wife and I had a lovely date night. All right. And it was great, and enjoyed that. And, I was singing the song this morning, as you were, "It is well with my soul." And I had this picture of this well right next to me. And every time we sang, "It is well with my soul," I saw the Lord just dip his hand in this well and refresh me. It is well, his well next to me. It is his well that refreshes my soul, that makes me whole, that makes me healthy, that makes me alive in him. I'm going to probably bounce around a little bit. Like I said, I have all these kind of, in my mind, fragmented things, but I think the Lord's got a plan to bring them all together. 275,000 people. That just stirs something in me. It stirs a ferocity within me. I don't know about you. I don't know how you're made up. I don't know what your makeup is. I don't know what your personality is. I'm sure it's effervescent and cute. But for me, I was saying to a prophetic roundtable, recently, it's like, and I'm learning about the Lord. I'm learning how he's made me, and I'm learning, Lord, let me decrease, let you increase. May it be 0 and 100, not 50-50, not just a little bit left of me, but may I be conformed totally into the image of Christ. And God's conforming us into this image, but he's designed for us in his wonderful love for diversity, for us to be different than one another, for us to have appetite and desire and dreams, and for us to delight ourselves in him as we find out how he's made us, how he's designed us to follow him in your unique makeup that's changing, because hopefully we're becoming more like him and less like us. It'd be a travesty for you to be like me, be a travesty for me to want to build an empire where people are like humanity. It's God's plan that we're a kingdom that's advancing. The kingdom of God's advancing, and somewhere, somehow, I connected with a ferocity that there's a warrior, there's a fighter deep within me. And I've told stories, and I don't want to emphasize anything, but I was fighting from a young age, and learning that the fight within me was directed at things that wasn't intended to take the brunt of my focus. That really the focus of my ferocity is to gain a passion and devoutness to the one and only true God, Jesus Christ, and take on all the enemies of the cross and Christ that come across my life. God wants there to be a stir this morning in our remembrance that He's made an availability through historical events for us to have illustration given to us as Anzac people. Now, I'm Anzac by choice. You might have been Anzac by birth, but I took citizenship by choice in 2012. I'm proud to be an American. I'm proud to be an Australian. I'm more proud to be a son of the living God, Jesus Christ. My citizenship isn't here, yet God allows us to live on earth for His purposes and plans. He's made me with a certain makeup of personality, wanting me to allow Him to work in my life so that I take on His character. But nonetheless, there are natural events that have occurred that we need to remember. In that occurrence, on April 25th in 1915, the Gallipoli campaign started, and that's where Australia and New Zealand started to understand they were able to fight for their sovereign nation. It was the first time that Australians and New Zealanders, Kiwis, and Aussies were together fighting for their individual nation. And since then, the Anzacs have been continuing to be used to see freedom spread so that every nation could be free to make her own decisions in worship and other areas. During that Anzac campaign that ended in January 9th, 1916, in December, most of the Anzacs had left. The British were left to clean up and finally remove themselves from what history says was a failed campaign. In those battalions, there was Aboriginal soldiers as well as Australian or Anglo-Saxon soldiers. There was Maori regiments that went and were trained in Malta before they were allowed to go to Gallipoli because they weren't sure that if a Maori regiment was being trusted to fight alongside Anglo-Saxon Kiwis, it might not shoot them in the back. Remembering the Aboriginal soldiers weren't even citizens of this nation, yet giving their lives to fight and defend this sovereign country's convictions. Anzacs, red, black, white, yellow. God has a purpose and a plan. In that plan, in the natural campaign, there is so many discourse about what went wrong, what went right. And the one thing, that one detail that everybody, almost 100%, they say they agree on is that when they brought the tugboats out to tug, to have them come out to land on the shore, they got messed up. They got entangled. And the boys that were brought on that shore landed adrift. They landed in the wrong place. Had they landed in the right place, they had enough force to overwhelm its opposition. I have a question. God, in his unfolding way, he loves to use natural things to bring spiritual illustration. Here's my question to you and to us, Anzacs. What is pulling us today? What is our vision? What's our mission? What's, what is really our plan? What's really our advancement? Where are we really going? And can I ask, are we on course to land where we're supposed to land? What you follow is important. Matter of fact, it's of the direst importance in life. What you follow is amazingly important. And I found this, that not everything that's named got the name of Christ over it is actually from him. That scripture tells me in 2 Corinthians 11, very clearly, quickly moving there, for if someone comes to you and preaches a Jesus other than the Jesus we preached, or if you received a different spirit from the spirit you received, or a different gospel from the one you accepted, you put up with it easily enough. Colossians 3, 1 through 3. Since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on earthly things, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. 1 Peter 1:18. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Do you know that the Old Testament believers still had to believe upon Christ? They didn't get to heaven because there was a early dispensation that works got you to heaven. Matter of fact, when the Bible says, call upon the name of the Lord and thou shalt be saved, it's actually taken from Old Testament scripture. You can't separate Old Testament from New Testament. It's the testament of Christ. Christ, the anointed one, has always been the anointed one before he came in the bodily form of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. The Christ that we worship today has always been, hallelujah. He's called the anointed one. That's what Christ means, Christos, the anointed one. And the anointed one is the one that we give our life to. He is the one that we preach, Jesus Christ. Do you know Joshua, Yeshua? There's a lot of Yeshuas. Even you read scripture, it says when they came and they're before the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they get before Herod and Pilate, the crowd yells, give us Yeshua, Jesus, Barabbas. Barabbas, first name, Yeshua, Jesus. There are many Jesuses, man. Yehoshua, Jesus, the one who, he is salvation. He is the one we place our trust in, that the nations must bow before. There's an advancement happening. It's our nation that's at stake. It's not foreign field I'm talking about this morning. I'm talking about the great Southland of the Holy Spirit is in jeopardy. And depending on what we follow that brings us to the exact landing space, we could lose the battle. Now, ultimately, I believe God's going to win the entire campaign. He's going to win it all. Every knee's going to bow. Every tongue will confess. Every people group, there'll be representation. Praise God. Hallelujah. But there's a call to arms in the Spirit. I've never seen a call to prayer in Australia like I'm seeing and sensing, even in this church, than right now. How many are feeling a call to prayer like never before? Raise your hands. You know, I've never seen a time where the Lord's requiring of me, you better eat the word. You better be Ezekiel 3. You better eat the word. We've talked about rubbish that's coming out of different ranks, saying that this or that is the way to go, being distracted. Can I say, allowing people to be tugged off course? The only way to salvation is through Jesus Christ and Him alone. There is no other avenue. There is no other door. Muhammad ain't going to do it for Australia or any other nation. Either is Buddha. Either is any other Hindu god. It's only Jesus Christ. He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man can come to the Father but by or through Jesus Christ. Man, I know people have been preached to for 50 years that don't get it. They're back in my hometown. Well, hope God accepts me. He won't accept you without Jesus Christ. You can't get in without Jesus Christ. Christ paid the ultimate, you know, sacrifice. He is the anointed one that lives today. He's always lived. Jesus, you know, was with the Father. Hallelujah. Before he came in bodily form, he's with the Father now, seated at the right hand. And guess what he's doing? Praying for you. He prays for you and I. He's praying for the nation. People are the nation. It's not the land that becomes a nation. It's the people, her people. That's what makes up a nation. And there's a rising swell to take the objective through prayer in this nation. We must be a people who are devout, single-focused. Do not be distracted in your campaign, soldiers. Do not be distracted. The gospel of Christ is an amazing weapon. And when we can, it's good to use words with it. What's the point? We got to live the gospel, everybody. We got to live the gospel. God's requiring a nation to live in holiness and sacrifice. And sacrifice, you know, means that I got to change. You know, Jesus isn't like a happy additive. I just add to my life and I stay the same. That's called humanism. Wrong! I can't be saved by myself. I can't get there. I can't obtain. Jesus isn't added to our lives as an additive and things stay the same. When you bring Christ in, you brought the well. You brought the living water in. He becomes the center of our life. And he starts to push things out of your life very quickly. Hallelujah. Embrace that. Embrace that. The sacrifice of soldiers. You know, they didn't have warm beds and they didn't have the food that might wanted. You talk about, Paul's hardship. Read in Scripture all the hardship Paul went through. Now, I don't want anybody to go through that hardship. But can I say this? I don't want you flogged 3 times. I don't want you to get the cat of 9 tails, 39 lashes, as many times as him. He got it 5 times. I don't want you to be in the open sea all day and night as Paul was. But as we sang, it is well with my soul, even when the life I believe I should live or the way I think things should go doesn't happen. We should actually have a clause in Christianity. Wimps need not apply. Oh, I can believe anything. Da-da-dee-da-da. Oh, everything's okay. Do whatever you want. You'll be blessed. La di za. Believe whatever God, it all leads to the same way. Hey, Wimpy, there's only one way. Jesus Christ. And men and women better than I have lost their head and lost their life for that truth. And it's going to happen again in the West. The incomparable Christ from Faith and Prayer Trust League Tract. I'm going to read this. He came from the throne of the Father to the womb of a woman. He put on humanity that we might put on divinity. He became Son of Man that we might become sons of God. He was born in a supernatural way, lived in poverty, and was reared in obscurity. He had neither wealth nor influence, yet the wisdom of man has never matched his wisdom. Never has a man spoken like this man. His family was inconspicuous and uninfluential. In infancy, he startled a king. As a boy, he stunned theologians with his knowledge and wisdom, for he was taught of God. In manhood, he ruled the elements and quieted the raging sea. He healed the multitudes without medicine and fed thousands from a boy's lunch. Even demons obeyed him, and he gave back life to those who died. He never wrote a book, yet none of the libraries of the world can contain the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, yet he has furnished the theme of more songs than all songwriters combined. He never founded a college, yet all the colleges together cannot boast of as many students as he has. He never marshaled an army, yet no leader has ever had more volunteers. Great men have come and gone, yet he lives all. Herod could not kill him. Satan could not tempt him to sin. Death could not destroy him. The grave could not hold him. He laid aside his purple robe for a peasant's gown. He was rich yet for our sakes he became poor. He slept in another's manger. He rode on another's donkey. He was buried in another's grave. He conquered death and rose on the third day as he said he would. He ascended into heaven and now is at the right hand of the throne of God. One day he will return with power and great glory to judge the world when every knee shall bow to him and every tongue shall confess him as Lord. His friends gladly, but enemies seeking a place to hide from his face. He is the perfect one, the only one who can satisfy the soul. He gives everlasting life to those who love him. He is altogether lovely, but best of all, he is my Savior. Hallelujah! Therefore, if any man be in Christ, a new creature, hallelujah, we are a breed, a race never seen on the face of the earth. He's made something brand new of your life if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. It says that old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. There's something new that's afforded to the Anzac nations. It's a new way to live. It's a new way to win. It's a new way to breathe. It's a new way to think. The glory of God's going to consume. Can I say it's going to cover the whole earth? That's what Scripture says. Australia and New Zealand are in that group. Here's the amazing thing. He's given us our life right now to be soldiers of the cross. Not with weapons that destroy, but with weapons of mass construction. To speak life. He's given us the very words to declare over your family, over your pregnancies, over your children, over your marriages, over your ministries, to declare the truth, to speak the word of Christ over your life. Behold, all things that are old pass away. My old man, your old man, can be dead, can be made inoperable. But it's not by me being a better person. It's not me by trying to get better acquainted with you as community. You're not going to help me much because I'm just like you. But there's one greater than me named Christ Jesus, who is able to deliver me and set me free, set you free, to actually help you think different, taste different, feel different, act different in scenarios that sometimes we're set up with by him. You know, your very life is your life because there's choices made in it, but God wants you to live life on earth. You're here by design of God. This is the plan of God. He's let your ship land in life, being birthed from your mom. And in that life, he has a plan for you to win, not to end in defeat, not to retreat, not to shrink back, not to get another plan. There is no other plan. There is no plan B in Christ Jesus. It's only plan A. And it's your life in his life in you. Hallelujah. The hope of glory, giving you hope, expectation. Do you expect your situation to change? Because I'm going to tell you something. If you think you were going to be 58 years old, still in nappies, sucking your thumb, trying to drive a car, guess what? Situation changed. You no longer wear nappies, and now you're 58 and you can drive a car. What's the point? Every situation changes. Do you really think the duress or the circumstance we're in, the battle we're in, it's not going to last forever? And the plan of God is for us to live and walk through in Christ Jesus, not by my own smarts. I ain't that smart. Not by my good looks. Don't go there. But it's by Christ Jesus, who has this amazing plan for nations. Let me just take that a little bit simpler for us. He has a plan for people. His plan is for us to live in something greater than me. The Old Testament patriarchs found the Christ. They found the God that they worshiped in relationship, man. God showed himself as a God who was the planner of salvation. He was the planner of the true way, people of the way, we used to call ourselves before. We were called Christians at a place called Antioch in the book of Acts. People of the way. People of what way? Yahweh, man. Yahweh, who gave his only begotten son, his only son, Yehoshua, Jesus. So that today in 2017, Anzacs have hope. Anzacs are on a campaign. Anzacs are on a winning trail. There's people being swept up. Pakistan's on a winning trail. Believe it or not, the United States is on a winning trail. Don't read the papers, man. Don't think that's the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you, not one will be snatched from his hand, Scripture says. He's going to have his way, and his way is to allow his glory to shine through its people, his people, you, through your face, through your actions, through your devout single-mindedness, single focus. I'm being led by the Christ in him alone, by preaching no other gospel but the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is no other way to salvation. They can write as many books as they want. Have as many so-called smart academics as they want. A wise man finds Christ as his Savior. The Bible said all others are fools. Today, we follow the plan of God for a nation. For you. Because you're one part of the great nation, the Southland, and the Holy Spirit. Doesn't matter your color, doesn't matter your creed. Doesn't matter your background. But God has a plan for your salvation.
Just backing up what David is saying, I just need to tell you, yesterday, one million South Africans got together to pray. They met at a farm in Bloemfontein. The speaker was Angus Buchan. Some of you are familiar with him. Faith Like Potatoes. And looking at the Facebook page this morning, 1 million people had gathered to pray for the nation.
Hallelujah. It's a good segue tonight, 6 p.m. We're going to have a service where we're focusing on praying for the breakthrough and salvation to come to South Africa. So if you want to come and stand with that nation, tonight is a focus on praying and standing for the very thing that happened yesterday right here at our church. God's heart is for the winning of the nations. Now, everybody, you might never have the opportunity to stand on a platform as we saw our brother John do. But your platform's already set for you. It's your life. It's your coworkers. It's your family. It's your parents. It's your kids. It's your grandkids. And can I say this? Don't slap them. Love them into position. Hug them into position. It doesn't mean because I hug someone lost in the lifestyle of homosexuality that I hate them. I love them. I can hug them. I can share bread with them. And Jesus' love can touch a heart that man can't. It's not slapping people into position. When I say militants, I like to slap the enemies of the cross. The demonic forces around people, I'll pray and cut that off in Jesus' name. No worries all day, every day. But we love the person. We draw in the person by love. And let the Holy Spirit do his work. We must be tenacious in our focus lest we be distracted. Can I say I have a sense that some of us are being distracted in this room? You possibly don't know the life print or the life plan God has for you. And it's to be a sold out, 100% committed, I'm all in believer of Jesus Christ. Anything else, can I say, I would suggest you might be tugged off course in your campaign. Father God, we praise you and thank you that we can come together to be encouraged to live, Lord, for you, to find the true meaning, the true relationship you afford us. Lord, I pray for all those seeking, all those individuals that have heard this message before. I pray all those who have not activated it would today in Jesus' name. They receive it. All those that have never heard, Lord, I pray that you would gently kiss and hug them into the well of life you are. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Just 1 second.
I understand this message I got during worship now, a message of mass construction. God is calling and releasing builders here today. There was a siren that went off during the worship time, like workers at a workplace. God's calling and releasing the builders to go and repair the walls. There are families on different sections of the wall. They are working and they are holding onto their swords at the same time. They are repairing different issues in the community. I can see major earthworks, major renovations and minor repairs all commencing at the same time. The workers' sirens have sounded, signaling time to get to work.
You got that during worship. Isn't that God good? Confirmation. Okay, 3 times. Hallelujah! 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 Okay, Anzacs, give them heaven when you go out there today.